But let's move now and talk about pancreatic cancer, a new entry to this field. And with a couple of key trials we want to talk about. We talked about mutation testing. You can see similar to what we talked about before. But one quick question I was curious about, Philip, is whether or not people would use a PARP inhibitor. I think you brought it up in your talk. In a patient who doesn't have metastatic disease, a patient who has unresectable locally advanced disease, but with a BRCA germline mutation. And I guess the logic of it, although I don't know if you can actually get it paid for, has the audience agreeing with you. Any comments on that, Philip?
I mean, I would be surprised if you can't get paid for it. But locally advanced unresectable metastatic disease, biologically, there's a lot of overlap. I don't see a reason here why we should be treating it differently. I would treat it like I would treat a patient with metastatic disease, and I would use olaparib in maintenance treatment. Of course, I would be using a platinum-based treatment as a induction, and in fact, most people will be using a platinum-based therapy like FOLFIRINOX in this setting.
So it was interesting, you know, when we first saw the trial data start to come out, I figured everybody was going to kind of jump on this and start doing it. It makes a lot of sense. We're doing to other cancers. But maybe you can comment a little bit about how the trial was done and the question of whether or not, you know, it's better to use olaparib maintenance or chemotherapy maintenance in a patient who gets upfront treatment with chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer.
First of all, the trial was based on simply giving a platinum-based treatment induction combination chemotherapy. It was mostly done with FOLFIRINOX, as you know. And people received at least 4 months of treatment, didn't progress, and then they were randomized to receive the olaparib versus placebo. Now, the issue of the maintenance treatment after FOLFIRINOX is really a very great, I mean, no one has really a good consensus what is the best chemotherapy to maintain the patients with. Is it going to be single agent fluoropyrimidine? Is it going to be FOLFOX, FOLFIRI? No one really has a good handle on it. And in fact, some people, like the Europeans, when they first developed the FOLFIRINOX, there was no maintenance after a set number of months of treatment. If you look at the side effects of the treatment and all that, it does appear that the olaparib, although has side effects, but overall has been well tolerated. And in fact, it would be more biologically worthwhile to try to treat with a drug that fits that patient's biology. And in fact, the olaparib will be, in my opinion, a better choice here because it gives you also the possibility of going back to chemotherapy. It doesn't take it away. And in fact, if you look at the study, when they looked at PFS2, which is the PFS after you bring back chemotherapy, in that group of patients who received the olaparib, they still did better than the patients who received the placebo. So there's some biology interaction here, which, in my opinion, favors the use of maintenance PARP inhibitor.
Maybe you can comment on the case. So you had a 51-year-old young man with a BRCA2 mutation and also a couple people in his family with cancers and BRCA2 mutations. Philip, can you maybe just sort of summarize what happened here?
So a 51-year-old with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, who we treated with FOLFIRINOX because you had in good performance status. And at that point in time when we started the treatment, we did not know that he had what sort of mutation he might have. We hadn't done any testing. But then he had an excellent response to treatment, which was a bit unusual at the time because we were just starting to use the chemotherapy was within like the first round of scans showed an excellent response. And he was of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. So putting 1 + 1 = 2, we went ahead and decided to convince him to have genetic testing, which he was reluctant because he didn't want to know if he was BRCA mutated. And in fact, it turns out to be BRCA2 mutation. That led to a number of things. One, we discussed with him going on maintenance with a PARP inhibitor, in which case he agreed. But also he agreed to pass on the information to his family. And his father, who had pancreatic cancer known at the time, tested and turned out to be BRCA2 positive. So that probably helped a bit. And two of his daughters, he has two daughters, and one of them tested positive to the BRCA2. So the whole thing helped us not only to design the treatment for him, but also to help the family in terms of identifying people at risk in the family.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think, we've had other cases like this, you know, metastatic pancreatic cancer, a terrible disease. It's not curable and barely treatable, you could almost argue, but yet he might have saved his daughter's life by preventing a breast cancer by having been treated. We want to move on and talk about prostate cancer, but I see a question in the chat room, Philip, that I think is interesting. Would there be any benefit in a patient with metastatic pancreatic cancer, status post-fulfirinox and GEM-NAB, who has a germline ATM mutation, Philip?
At this point in time, there is some anecdotal evidence. So if I have someone with ATM mutation today, I personally would be using a PARP inhibitor because I've seen some reports and some, as I said, anecdotal evidence. There's no study that will prove it, but certainly something which increasingly is becoming more, there's more agreement that it's worth trying. No one is going to do a randomized trial in ATM mutations, but collectively the evidence so far points towards potential benefit for using it. So I will use it. I mean, this is pancreatic cancer. I will do anything for the patient.
Ursula, what about non-BRCA germline mutations, ATM, there are a whole bunch of them in terms of ovarian cancer. Which are the ones that kind of, from your point of view, are pretty much similar or the same as BRCA?
Yeah, I think the RAD51C, RAD51D, at least from Liz Swisher's kind of analysis in Aerial 2 of other, you know, kind of genes that are going to confer HRD but are non-BRCA. But still, I mean, listening to these answers, I still think that, you know, we use clinical measures of HRD to determine whether or not to use a PARP inhibitor. You know, ovary cancer, we use platinum, so you really do get a sense how that patient's going to respond to a PARP inhibitor, where the HRD tests are not, you know, you're using that on old tissue, and it's not representative of obviously what's going on in the recurrent setting.